How heavy are those bags under your eyes? Are they filled with sand, struggling to stop the flow and ebb? Or perhaps they're cement barriers, heavy enough to sink into your troubled face? How deceptive is your smile? Those glimmering snake oil salesman teeth, the sharpened silver tongue that lines your cloudy speech, but never allows it to rain. Sandpaper stubble, jagged rubble, thick husk of skin, human rain jacket. The pressure systems begin converging, alarms blaring, thunder rolling. There's cracks in the barriers. No amount of silver-tongued lies to disguise. Lightning flares, water rises, along with something stuck deep in your throat. Now or never, sink or swim, float, the accelerating drip, 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 a guttural roar, glass shattered, scattered scratches on my scalp, compulsive clashing conscience cries, disappear into the wind, looking for nothing or something.
Horse shy. I am horse shy. Whenever I approach and forget to not look, I may not encroach, whether fast or slow, assertive or demure, or to know if my legs are solid or unsure. I am horse shy to meet your eyes. As if from left of field, a strange compact, though unconcealed, I can't quite flag, but see the colour rise on your face and neck. I am horse shy. I wonder why that sideways look, the startled colt white of your eye fixes me, demands I halt, says, stay right where you are, or else I bolt.
Simon Armitage was born in Huddersfield. He was a former probation officer. He lives in the same part of West Yorkshire where he grew up. And there's a whole lot more. His first poem, the first poem she prints, is called Zoom. It begins at a house and ends terrace in this case, but it will not stop there. Soon it is an avenue, which cambers arrogantly past the Mechanics Institute. Turns left, the main road, without even looking, and quickly it is a town with walled form, major clearing banks, a daily paper, and a football team pushing for promotion. On it goes, oblivious of the planning acts, the green belts, and before we know it, it is out of our hands, city, nation, hemisphere, universe, hammering out in all directions until suddenly, mercifully, it is drawn aside through the eye of a black hole and bulleted into a neighboring galaxy, emerging smaller and smoother than a billiard ball that's weighing more than Saturn. People stop me in the street, badger me in the checkout queue, and ask, what is this? This is so small and so very smooth, but whose mass is greater than the ring clamps. It is just words, I assure them, but they will not have it.
Charles, che denaro geniti.
Speak easy. Breath steams on the knife's edge between Friday and Saturday after our book club that's really a gym club. Our hair moves in gusts that shred dragon smoke farewells. Our eyeliner has laughter smudges. We would linger in this circle, but cabs must be snagged, buses caught, bridges crossed before we reach our beds. So we are rushing now, hugs and singing chants, goodbye, good night, home safe. My father reads poetry and writes emails apologizing for men he cannot control. He does not ask, and I do not know how I could explain to this man, whose love for my mother defines every love in my life, what he is apologizing for. This man who taught me to punch and scream and eat apples from the back of a blade, who walked me through museums to greet the old masters, and gave me the balanced pressure of a power drill driven from my arm's right angle. Before I left, he showed me how to clean hair from the vent beneath my sink. So when this man, this good man, apologizes and does not ask what he cannot understand, all I can think of is my friends, our circle wavering between one night and the next cracking dawn, words echoing across footpaths, down streets, over and over and over. Goodbye, lovelies. Good night, girls. Get home safe.
Okay, then I don't know Molly to me. I love it.
Knowledge. Brother. Do not follow me into the deep woods. You crave the spike of hedgehog, swish of slug, but the earth has gulped the leaves and swallows. Brother, only I can hear the muttering moss. The soil will sink to hold my naked feet. You have the sight of a centipede. Brother, your tongue burns with questions, like where is the soul kept? But too much knowing will grow roots in your stomach. Branches will stretch and crack your neck. Brother, stay home. I will go for us. Tie my hair in vine. Line my blood with nettles. I turn to the oak and soak my bones with knowledge.
And I don't know, cure laughter. Laughter.
No, it's kind of nice. This is a song that I'd like to read. It's about a group of people that I met in Goa in India. I was there for a couple of months and just a mad bunch of crazy hippie types. It's called Pleasures Run Deep. No wonder with the circles it's been fun to see the circus roll through. Chasing someone else's tail, the pirates roaring through the night daring to sail. The borders of boredom cast off in a dream. When the past laughs at the present, with the future's uncertain loosened seams, we're gonna go, oh, we're gonna go. Got it for granted, kicking walls over in your sleep, as the fearful fall for the foolish, the pleasures run deep. Along came the snow, drifted the waiting crowd, whitewashed the souls as the palms sway bold and proud, never grown old on the rooftop, we're shouting loud. The rains are coming, The sea breeze felt crystal clear. I'm on my knees, I want to see you next year. And the fearful fall for the foolish pleasures of the deep. You got it for granted, you're kicking walls over in your sleep as the fearful fall for the foolish and the pleasures run deep. I want to see you next year. I want to see you next year. I hope to see you next year.
It's okay. Okay, did I have Patricia Watts?
Thank you, Ron. This is called Missing Person. Clean as a guitar, flourish otherwise, busking for a better world domination, asking for a little about company and drink. Not much persuading needed, going without saying, ghost army your friends still moving forward. With neutral shoes, makeup, supreme attire, one's early centuries is the best mind. Slinking in on a priest's apiary, this undocumented hanger on, finger still, missing no water, private tune. Was incarcerated, forgotten forever. You claw your own way to your chosen path. Are we really different? Let me count the ways. Witches in the night, scavenge for drink. Those historic cages aren't yours anymore. Holding a piece with a number like a monkey, dispense of will into a laundry basket. A nymph and scar stolen by the cruelty of strangers. Just as you are, defining a purpose. Sanctuary of your house no longer irrelevant. The cryptic association, conscious uncoupling, new histories terrorize the guilty parties. Enduring love, not absent anymore. Potential past and presence merged together. The scripted burn pages, well cherished. Thanks.
Okay, then Eleanor Max Cream.
Sand leaves. to this is for Christmas Connor and all of us coaches. Coming home from college. I'll think you're all gussied up and you're all fancy, you're a big college in Dublin, but you're actually being chucked at the back of the van to go to a dance. How have I ever done it before, Pa? We're on the gallivant, we're on the tear. Don't hold me back and don't you grind my ears. We're heading for the show dance in the van. For the tinsman, Timmy Charlie is the man. We strike up the van for takeoff. The grass landing strip would tear the chassis off. Sometimes we get stuck behind a scooter, a cowboy rider with the ram over his shoulders. Old Crack was in the lilac in a scheme. Joe Dolan was the longest queue we'd seen. Women lined up by each wall, by the size of one and all. Wagon trio of chain and the wagon call. When it was time to get home, we'd have the flash lamp. He'd say, where are my Colleen Lokes? Where are my little lambs? Room in the back for just one more, cause Starry Vine has scored. When it comes in until I bolt the door. Now when it was time to get home, we'd have the steamer. Signal the postmortem for the dancers. That old doll, she shut me down. There was a talk of town. We'd be marked if a driver hit the ground. We're on the gallivant, we're on the tear. Don't hold me back and don't you dry my gears. We're heading for the show dance in the van. Jimmy Charlie is the man, and the Hagerty twins and W unit would pull out their old guitar and they would tune it. Women wind up by his wall, blind up one and all, by the dragon trail that they the cannon call. Beyond the gallivant, beyond the tear, never hold them back or let them grind your gear. Head off to the show dance in the van. For the spin, Timmy Charlie is your man. That's it.
Okay, Dini Ella, now Colin Scully, August Conor McManus. Bye, Margaret Max. Well, was a double act, or was
that? No, not.
Let's see what.
This is called the sound. After Mass, somebody's golden Labrador retriever with the brown collar was jumping up to the window in the kitchen, trying to eat a blue bottle. With his paws on the sill, he'd snap sideways at the fly, buzzing and banging off the glass. Music was coming from the front bar and the potatoes were boiling on the back ring. Emmett was standing at the cook with a cigarette dangling from his mouth, Bowron in hand. He wore a black leather waistcoat, black beard and black glasses. He moved the carrots off to one side to warm the Bowron. He was leaning back and squinting to avoid the smoke, breathing through the corner of his mouth and blowing the smoke away from his eyes with forced air from flared nostrils. Holding the Bowron upside down, he rubbed the goat skin in circular motion while warming it over the flame. The frustrated Labrador barked up at the fly. Spews of steam lifted and dropped the lid off the potatoes. Steam was condensing on the window. The bar was jammed. In the bar, the musician sat under the window with a table covered with full and empty glasses in front of them and banged out, "The chicken's gone to Scotland." Ashtrays overflowed and a fog of smoke clung to the ceiling. The two brothers and the Protestant stood with elbows on the high counter at one end, their usual spot. The brother in the waistcoat and hat had left in rhubarb during the week. An old man with black-rimmed glasses and a black coat sat on a high stool with his back to the wall, drinking whiskey at the other end, his usual spot. He left Mass after the communion to be the first in. In between, heads and hands clamoured for stout and chatted and shouted over the music. John Mulvey stood pressed with his back to the door, gripping his pint tight to his chest. The circus man was itching to sing, and the tinker with the cravat and the polio limp waited for his turn to play the tin whistle. Behind the bar, pounds were taken, the till rang and change was returned. Glasses were plashed and washed in cold water on the spot and reused. Pints were lined up in a row, ready for the heads to be put on them. The steam rose from the boiling kettle for that awkward bastard at the hatch that wanted a hot whiskey. It's the middle of June. It's for herself, she's not 100. That old summer cold is hard shook. Jesus wept. Empty glasses clinked as they were collected by handfuls, and full bottle sighed as their caps were prized off. The optics gurgled, and a blue beer cooler beneath the counter on a beer crate and a tangle of pipes hummed to the demand. An old laundry basket filled steadily with empty bottles that clinked as they were dropped in on top of other. And then the old man goaded his son-in-law with round cheeks to sing. And the son-in-law started to sing a love song.
As we gather in the chapel here in Old Gilman Jail, I think about these past few weeks, or will they say we failed?
People jostled and stretched and turned to see the singer, and those who didn't or were too short waited patiently listening. And the volume of the chatter dropped, and there was the sound of someone slowly gulping their first fresh mouthfuls.
From our school days, they have told us we must yearn for liberty. But all I feel in this dark place is to have you here with me.
Someone give out a scolding shh to kill the final mumbles of intense conversation of the cheek-to-cheek brothers discussing the merits of a mare they wanted to buy. They both chuckled the same way and went beefy red behind their pints. The glass washing and till ringing stopped, and pints were supped quietly, or not supped at all.
Oh, Grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. I'll take you out the dawn and I will die. With all my love, I place this wedding ring upon your finger. There won't be time to share our love, for we must say goodbye.
John Mulvey straightened himself, lowered his pint, closed his eyes, put out his chest, and his neck tingled as the singer's voice lowered.
Now I know it's hard for you, my love, to ever understand the love I bear for these brave men, my love for this dear land.
Others blew slowly upward, long drafts of smoke, and vacantly watched as it swirled and began to fray. Some looked studiously downward or took extra long to crush under soul a cigarette butt. And some just picked an imaginary spot on the ceiling and stood savouring every word. And in the stillness, my mother snuck away to prod the roast, the marifat peas, the potatoes and the carrots. The Bowron player never put the carrots back and they were only half done. That bollocks and his effing Bowron. The love song wafted into the kitchen.
Called me to his side out in the GPO. I had to leave my own sick bed, for him I had to go.
She continued prodding the roast with a big timber-handled fork, and the smell escaped from the oven as the big useless lug of a Labrador salivated at her shoulder. In the bar, in the silence of the song, the stout suppers could get the smell of lamb being roasted. Then there was a loud cheer and a clap as the man with the round cheeks closed his eyes, jerked his head to beat time, and finished with all he could muster.
There won't be time to share our love, for we must say goodbye.
He then reached for his pint, and his father-in-law wiped under glasses and blew his nose loudly with a loose handkerchief that he had pulled by one corner from his topcoat pocket. John Mulvey went to bless himself, and the musicians under the window burst forth once more to whoops and cheers and another applause, and the till rang and pints were gulped. Then, Gard Ryan, in full uniform, appeared in the door, glaring at the musicians to stop. But they cut straight into another, faster tune, Casey's Pig, and a loud cheer went up. That's the gangly fucker, that fella. Aye, look at the head on him, and an eye on him like a goat eating cabbage. Ryan stood in the doorway until everyone drank up and left. Thank you.
Oh, that's the issue. There'll be a lot of good bets. Next we have one-time regular and long-time friend of O'Vale. It's a great pleasure to see your name down on the list there. Al McKelly is going to go up and say some words.
Oh, thanks, you're on. That's great. Thanks. I was on search in the book for something to read, but I found this, so it's about the bog. I found a tuft of yarrow in the pocket of my old coat. Two heads, half dry, plucked from the bog that day when we went walking with the dogs. I brought them to my old haunts through the moss that glows resplendent greens, carpeting your footfalls. Through the heather strewn lakesides, the gorse still aglow since springtime yellow. I walked with him over railway sleepers through the silver birch, scarred tissue bogside. Whooper swans barked their odious songs like lighted sea dogs. We sat by the banks of a flooded brown plain and threw broken reeds for the dogs to fetch. Not a soul stirred as time stretched itself and the clouds grew grey and heavy. We walked on through desolation, recovering itself. He handed me those yarrow heads, blushed pink still in November.
Say youth is wasted on the young is a rich comment from men and women who've made adulthood a shameful enterprise. An operation in disowning your ideals so to quieten the mind in moments of indulgence that cripple others. The more you lose, the more you have to gain. Your aspirations strangle softly, passed over in silence, sacrificed for the security of servitude. Making peace with dissatisfaction, the welcome devil you know, and waging war on your intuition. Equipped with a wealth of cheap thrills that stimulate the brain, while the conscience is gagged behind the shut doors of the mind so efficiently, its screams are stifled to barely but a breath. No change comes for the messenger that brings the most vital of news from the brain to the heart is pleasuring himself with the eyes behind face cam. Watching porn, while in some Hollywood basement a young woman is pinned to a bed to bring you the season finale. And you recognize her, for she has sold her love for money in the same way that you have, just louder, or maybe not nearly as loud. You are a vessel seeking stimulation and will take it at any cost. To you, to any unknown face, to the earth. In the same way a heroin addict would sell his mother for a hit. Your skin suffers no needles. Your addictions are safer for they are state-sponsored and corporately endorsed and they were built for you. Safer for who? Only those who sought safety so ardently for so long they became shrouded in comfort, whose comfort sat in their souls so long their aches began to know. A dull sensation where nothing hurts is clutched to like a mother clutches her child as it is ripped from her by a soldier. And your well-fed ego reassures you that you are important enough to clutch to your comforts as a mother clutches her child in a war. Until your excesses are primate. Because you deserve it. Now your excesses control you and you are always in want and seldom in need and never able to distinguish a want from a need. For you, your people, or for any stranger. You fear strangers as though they might take your children. A stranger might take your children because they have never been given anything by you or any of your esteemed colleagues or friends. Your children could break your illusion of reality with their words or cries, and you would hate them for it. Could melt the ice that your heart has set in, and so they are feared. You could make them safe again by introducing them to your esteemed colleagues or friends. If they do, they will be indoctrinated. If they don't, they will be liberated, and you will dismiss them and their insights, for they are too young. But your children could wake you up, 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 could wake you up! For you cannot feel love while sleepwalking, 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 you cannot feel love. Could save you from waste, even as you shame their existence and describe their use as wasted on them. I and many and many and many alike are children of yours. I want to love you, but you hate me, so I can't. So I chant. I'm too young till I die. I'm too young till I die. I know I am, I'm sure I am. I'm too young till I die. Too young till I die. I'm too young till I die. I know I am, I'm sure I am. I'm too young till I die. Grimmin Mahog of Glare, Shine, Mohorda, Shinoimna, Femi Diktok, Grimmains, Pointha, Grimmin Mahog of the Long Valley, Anya Durkin. Anya Durkin had to head off because she did have a pain in her head as she so eloquently described to us. She's been carrying a migraine for the last 2 days, so she said she sends her apologies that she couldn't say for the open mic, but absolutely loved being here. So can we, in her honour, can we give her a round of applause? Could we have a round of applause for your good selves then attending the 608th Ovale?